worked on various parts of the wall. And like I said, their names I couldn't pronounce anyway. I'll just read a few verses as I go through from this chapter. But we need to draw some principles from this chapter which will help us build God's kingdom and reestablish His good name in this place today like they had to do back then, okay? The first thing I want you to notice is the number of different kinds of people it says who worked on the wall. It says they were priests in verse 1, 22, and 28. It says there were goldsmiths in verse 8 and 31, 32. It said there were perfumers. I don't know what a perfumer is, but it says in verse 8. There were rulers, 9, 12, 14 through 19. There were merchants, verse 32. And there were women, verse 12. I read a commentary about Nehemiah to get some kind of idea of what's going on, and it stated that there were 42 different types of people identified in this chapter alone, working on the wall. So if we're going to build God's kingdom at Calvary Baptist Church in our times, number one, it tells me we've all got to work together. Amen? We've all got to work together. We must all work. Every single one of us here, that's what I said to begin with, all of us, must do our part to get the job done building up the kingdom of God. Every single one of us must put our hands to the task, not just the pastor, not just the deacons, but every one of us. Because it takes all of God's people to get the job done. Let me give you a couple of examples of what it means to work together, okay? Any of you ever watch the Indy 500 races? Anybody interested in that, huh? Got one raised, two raised their hand, three. In 1950, the crew of each car was four men and the driver. It took more than 60 seconds to change two tires, fill the gas tank, and put the car back on the racetrack. Okay? But today, each crew consists of 11 members plus the driver. 12, but only 6 are permitted to touch the car during a pit stop. The other 5 serve as behind-the-scene assistants. But now they replace all 4 tires, adjust the wing on the back of the car, and top off the gas in less than 8 seconds. Pretty fantastic, huh? It's even more fantastic when you get in Formula One cars. These crews are even bigger. They have 20 people. Everybody understands the role they have. And everyone on the pit crew does their job. They complete the pit stop, 4 tires, gas, adjust the wing in 3 seconds. That's working together, folks. This tells me that no one can do everything, but everybody can do something. Amen? So how do we become a Formula One crew for the glory of God at Calvary Baptist Church? By making God's glory the primary focus of our work. Because when the pastor, along with just a handful of the members, attempt to do all the work, progress is slow and sometimes kind of awkward. But when every member knows and does his or her part, the difference is absolutely amazing. Look at Nehemiah chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to read verse 32. I'm going to jump from 1 to 32, okay? Then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers and the priests and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundred and the tower of Haniel. And then verse 32 says, and between the upper room of the corner of the sheep gate, the goldsmith and the merchant carried out repairs. Now that may not mean much to you, but think about it. It's amazing here to note that the gates are always a means of going in and coming out, right? So when we talk about building lives, building God's kingdom, gates represent the way we enter into the lives of other people and let them enter into our lives. It's no coincidence then that the rebuilding of the walls and the gate begin in verse 1 with the sheep gate, and then it ends in verse 32 with the sheep's gate. They made a complete circle around the city. Okay? The sheep gate was the gate closest to the temple. And it was through the gate that the sheep and the lambs that were used in the sacrifices in the temple were brought into the city. And the symbolism here is unmistakable, folks, as it points ahead to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who would come to take away the sins of the world. It's an important reminder to us that the only way that we can enter into a relationship with God and a life of discipleship is through faith in Jesus. And the Apostle Paul captured the essence of their mindset when he wrote these words 500 years later after the wall was complete. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And it's also significant that the work there is done by the high priest and his brothers as they built the sheep gate and the wall all the way to the tower of Haniel. They consecrated their work to God before the work proceeded any further. And by doing that, they were demonstrating that that was not their work, but it was God's work. So how does God get his work done? Number 3, by using ordinary people right where they are. I was told that once about... I can't figure that fast in my head, but it was 1983 when I had this feeling that God wanted me to do something. And I went to the pastor and I said, told him what I was feeling. And I said, I'm not qualified for what God wants me to do. He says, God uses ordinary people right where they're at. He's got a job for you, and you need to obey. You need to commit. And 6 months later, I was in Fort Worth, Texas, going to seminary, of all places. God uses ordinary people right where they are. So don't think that you can't do something for God, because God will use you. It takes all kinds of people to get the job done, folks. How many of you work in a job? I'm going to pick on Wayne because I love Wayne. You do everything at the power plant? No, you can't. There's probably some things you can't do, right? Amen. There's some things we can't do, but there are things we can do. We all have something that we're good at. It takes all kinds to get the job done, especially when they're working in their area of greatest concern to them. There's a phrase in this chapter, Nehemiah, that jumps out at us. It jumped out at me anyway. And it says opposite their house or their home in your Bible, whatever it says. Verse 10 says Jedidiah repaired opposite his house. It says Benjamin repaired opposite his house. And it says the priests, each one, repaired opposite of their house. Zadok repaired opposite his house. And Methusalem repaired opposite his house. Each one of them worked for the glory of God in the area of their greatest concern, their own homes. Why? Think about it. Why did they work in the area of their greatest concern, their own house? Because if the enemy breached the wall at their house, guess whose house was going to get attacked first? Think about this, folks. Craig is our house. Craig is our house. If we don't build a wall around it, we'll be and are under attack by the devil. We need to tell our neighbors about Jesus. We need to pray a wall around our neighborhood. How many of your neighbors do you really know so you can share Jesus with them? How many of your neighbors have you let into your life so they know who you are? I read a cute little quip by D.L. Moody, the late great preacher. He says, if everybody would go out and sweep the street in front of their whole house, guess what? The whole street would be clean. What's the importance of that? We're not talking about somebody doing everything, absolutely not. We're talking about everybody doing something. Working in the area of the greatest influence. Your street, your neighbor, your work, your friends, your family. If we're going to build God's kingdom in Craig in these desperate times, then we must all work. But more than that, number four, we must unite in a common work or a common goal, however you want to look at it. We must all pull in the same direction towards the same goal. We all have to labor side by side in harmony with each other. And one of the things that got me when I was putting this together, there hasn't been much harmony in this church for a long time, has there? But that's what Scripture tells us we must do if we truly want to honor and praise God in our lives. There's another phrase that jumped out at me while I was looking at this, and it's the phrase next to him or next to them. Look at it. Verse 2, next to him, next to them. Verse 4, next to them, next to him. Verse 5, next to him. Verse 7, next to them. Verse 8, next to him, twice. And it goes on and on all the way through verse 31 that way. Next to him or next to them. All these people are working for the kingdom of God. Next to each other. Somewhere around 30 times it says that. Now, I don't know if we're really that hard-headed, but if God put it in there 30 times, he meant it to be important, don't you think? God brought all these people together to engage in a common goal, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, rebuilding his kingdom. These people had been separated by geography, by occupation, by social classes, and by gender, it says. But they were able to work together because they wanted to honor and praise God. And I got to thinking about that. In the church today, we have an even greater purpose that should unite us despite our diversity. In Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus has given us all a common goal of making disciples of all the nations. And all we have to do is start right here in Craig, Colorado. In both Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, Paul compares the church to a body and points out the need that every member of that body to do his or her part in order for the body to function as God intended. Amen? And then in Ephesians 4:15-16, he reaffirms that idea with these words. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects of Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What a mouthful. Because if you honestly and truly want to grow in your relationship with God, the most effective way to do that, folks, is not by trying to do it on your own, but rather carrying out your part in the body of people that is united in its common task of building up the body of Christ. We must all work by making God's glory the primary focus of our work. So how is it all done? How is it all done? By using ordinary people right where they are, by uniting in a common goal, and by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Number 5. By the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, To each, that means every one of us, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There's two things I want you to look at in that little verse. First, each believer is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So if you've honestly and truly given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit has given you at least one spiritual gift. Some have more than one, but everybody has one. And the irony here is that even though the gifts you've been given are primarily for the good of the body as a whole, when you exercise your gifts in a way that benefits the body as a whole, you end up growing in a way that you could have never done by being focused on your own personal gifts or life. I remember somebody telling me one time that there's three kinds of people in the church. There's three kinds of people in a church. Number one are called constructionists. These are people doing what they can to work for the common goal of the body. And then there's the destructionists. They're the ones who are always busy tearing things down in the same way. And then there's obstructionists. These are perhaps the most damaging people of all because they're so self-focused and self-centered in who they are and where God has them that they get in the way of those who are doing their best to serve the entire body. And in the process, they're actually only harming themselves. Now, as I said in the beginning, the long list of unpronounceable names that make this chapter up make it difficult to read is actually one of the most exciting things about this chapter, if you think about it. The fact that Nehemiah made a record of those names who worked, and that God caused it to be preserved for over 2,000 years, now as a testimony of that work, is pretty amazing, don't you think? I'm reminded of Malachi 3:16. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who esteemed his name. Now their names are recorded over 2,000 years ago, maybe more than that, because this is at least 400 years before Christ. So I'm going to safely say 2,500 years ago. Okay. Now my question is, think about this. What would our book of remembrance look like 100 years from now? 200 years from now? 500 years from now? If Calvary Baptist Church is still here, would people know anything about us? Because becoming a mature disciple of Jesus is hard, folks. I won't knock it. I've served as pastor in 3 churches. My first church I went to had 5 people. It took 9 years to get it up to 45 people. Second church we went to had how many people? 3, she said. It took 10 years to get it up to 45 people. The last church we went to had 2 guys. It took me 10 years to get it up to 35, and then it died. Because of the community it was in, Satan's disciples. But it's not easy. But it's rewarding. It's very rewarding. But it's even harder if you try to do it by yourself. Because God never called us to be Lone Rangers. He called us to be Christians. S with an F. That's more than one. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, but encourage one another." The church, with all its flaws, is still indispensable in building you up as a mature disciple that God wants you to be. So even though none of us can do everything, we can all do something. Amen? To build up the church and build up God's people for the glory of God. The question today, I guess, is, are you willing to make disciples in Craig, Colorado? I love hearing about encounters during the week when we come to Sunday school, because it puts gas in my gas tank. Makes me want to get out there and do more, okay? So even though none of us can do everything, we can all do something to build up the church and build up God's people for the glory of God. The question today, I guess, is, are you willing to make disciples in Christ and use the gift or gifts that God has given you through the Holy Spirit to build up His church at Calvary Baptist, to honor and praise God for what He's done for you? Think about your life. I can't forget my life the way it was before Christ came into my life. It wasn't nice. It wasn't pretty. In fact, it was disgusting. But my God loved me enough to forgive me and say, become one of my children. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for loving me in spite of me, for loving all of us in spite of us, but most of all, for sending your Son, Jesus, to show us the way and how to become children of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that through the unity of all believers, that we can build up your kingdom. Help us to serve together as equal members of your body. But most of all, help us to share Jesus with a lost and dying world. Father, as we once were, headed down that path. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for our pastor. And Father, keep him safe and bring him back next week. And we thank you and praise in his name. Amen. Go and stand and sing our song.